Gracious and Heavenly Father, as we begin another Lenten season, we see the purpose in which you sent your Son. We see the marvelous act of love that you have poured out for each of our lives. And we come to meditate on what that means for each one of us as we live out our lives in our time and in our place. For all takes us back to the garden, to the temptation, to the realization that in this Lenten season, we journey to a cross which has a purpose for each of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. What happened to truth? A question we hear a lot these days is flipped around as though it's just a common little sentence. In a courtroom, if you were to take the stand, you are asked this one important question. Will you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me God. And what do we mean by that? On this first Sunday in Lent, our three lessons, the Old Testament and the Gospel and the Epistle, all weld together so beautifully for us. We all know them well. The Old Testament is the fall into sin there in Genesis chapter 3. The serpent, quite crafty. He has those myths and how he perverses the word of God. He deceives Adam and Eve with half-truths. And even her response doesn't take into account the gravity of what God has spoken to Adam in chapter 2, verse 17. You shall surely die, is his answer, if you eat of that tree. In the Hebrew, this is the infinitive absolute, apprehended to the imperfect, for a real strong emphasis that you will die if you eat of this tree. And the perversions of Satan in his conversation with Eve, he twists and he uses God's word. And so Adam and Eve, believing that they will become like God, eat of the fruit of the tree. And yes, they will know good and evil. But they will not be like God. The serpent has achieved his goal. Once they knew, they saw their shame. They saw the reality of who they were. And in this beautiful garden, now it is this event that changes everything. And they see themselves as naked. They cover up. And so from them, all mankind has inherited the ability to cover up our sins. We all do it. We work hard at it. We like to cover up our sins with half-truths. This small little sin, it isn't going to be that bad. If I fudge just a little, who's it going to hurt? Who's going to know? Half-truths also lead us to the blame game, just as it did in the garden, as each of them, Adam and Eve, blamed one another. They blamed the serpent, and yes, we do the same. We want to blame one another. You know what you did. I needed to respond that way because of what you did. You know it wasn't my fault. Knowledge of evil oftentimes leads to shame. For we know what we did wasn't right. We can't compensate. Shame covers us like rolling in the dirt will cover you. You see, Genesis chapter 3 is that starting point for us to see how God deals with these half-truths that now enter into his world. And in the garden, we see God's grace at work with Adam and Eve. He makes them a promise, a commitment. And he is kind to them. And then, the flip side of that is the gospel reading. The temptation of Jesus, one of my favorites in Matthew. I love that whole text there. As Jesus is led into the wilderness, you see, it's the counterpart. They are in the garden with all of his plush and beauty, and they sin. And now Jesus is led into the wilderness, where there he resides for 40 days with nothing. And then Satan comes to him and challenges him. And once again, he uses the word. He perverts that word. And again, here we see a different story. Adam and Eve fell to Satan's half-truths. And we see where it led to all mankind and has affected us ever since. But here we have a different picture. Here we have Jesus as Satan twists God's word, as Satan talks about how he can give him all these things. Our Lord responds simply through the word. He stands up to each one of those three temptations. And how well would we have done with that kind of thing? And what we see in the gospel reading is always so beautiful, because after Satan has done all of this and he's done his best and he comes out in the worst way, he flees. He knows he's been defeated. But he doesn't give up. He looks for that opportune time where he can lead us down paths we shouldn't go. Because you see, Satan is the great deceiver. He seeks to destroy. He wants to destroy our relationship with God. And you know what? He continues even into our day today. He is the great deceiver. He uses deceptions time and time again. He is the champion of playing the half-truth game. And in the garden and in the temple, the truth is revealed. There was one covering for all of our sins. It came in the form of a Savior, God's only Son. It is Christ who comes to crush the head of the serpent. Genesis 3, verse 15. While Adam and Eve succumbed to the half-truth of Satan, it would be easy for you and I to put all the blame on them. I am the way I am because of my first parents, Adam and Eve. But then the reality is, what about when we fall to those half-truths that are part of our lives? And that's where the epistle comes in this morning, because there Paul writes, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses and beyond. The reality is, as we come into this another journey through Lent, is to think about what is the purpose of the cross. Each week we're going to be talking on Sunday mornings about cross something. But today we begin where it all starts. What is the purpose of the cross? Why does Christ do what he does for us? Sin. Something we all inherited. You cannot escape it. It affects all of God's creation. We see pain, suffering, death, all the result of our sinful nature. And yet, Paul wants us to focus and to think about the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf on that cross. Yes, God began that promise in the garden with Adam and Eve as he showed mercy and compassion. He clothed them with animal skins, and his grace never abandoned them. Our theme cross purpose this morning, you see, God has a plan. He has a purpose in sending his one and only Son into our world. The beauty of the cross is that it frees us. It frees us from sin and death and the power of Satan. He takes upon himself your sin and my sin, the whole world's sin. And he carries it to that one cross for all of mankind. This one act redeems all of us. Here is that promise of life given in the garden. Not life as we know it, but life beyond even what we know. God shows his love for each of us. And as we do this journey through Lent once again, we go back to what God has done. Listening to a great deal of Christian music lately, and I don't know why that is, I've kind of got in that mood lately. There are many songs about faith, about believing, about turning one's life over to God. And what I begin to see is a reoccurring theme, because much of this music is based on what I do. And the reality is, I can't earn my salvation. I can't do it. It has already been done. Salvation is a gift. That's what Paul points out to us plainly in the epistle reading. I cannot earn it. I cannot do enough to assist God in loving me. And unfortunately, that's where many get it wrong. The purpose of the cross was the purpose of God doing for us what we could not do. The purpose of the cross was an act of love by our Heavenly Father. No matter what I do, I always come up short. But God is a part of your story and my story. God is a part of his creation. He is with us even today through the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. He is there with us through the Word and the sacrament. He guides us and he helps us to see the important gift that has been given to each of us, that gift of salvation. Faith is not about believing half-truths. It is about believing in what God and God alone has done for us. What he has done in sending his one and only Son to take your place, my place, the place of the whole world. And in your baptism, he called you by name. You are his child. He shows you his love every time you look at that cross. That's its purpose. God loves you with an everlasting love. He loves each and every one of us when we come together to worship. It is that cross that gives us a certain and eternal hope that death has been defeated, that in his resurrection we have life, not only now, but into eternity. And so as we began once again these 40 days, and we work through that time as we come closer and closer to that wonderful gift of salvation, we need to think about His cross and what it means for your life individually, living it now in our world filled with so many half-truths and lies. God has given you victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.